Okay, a very important intro is that my now I didn't know what to expect as far as crowd. So my usual crowd are under the age of 16. That's my usual crowd in some form, whether it be anywhere between 8 and 16, 17. What I was going to do was have a couple of core ideas, throw in a little bit of some Gemaras, have a little Gemaras. The topic is Purim. Need I say more? Was that on the? Was it written like that? I still haven't seen the actual ad, but it's out there. Okay. A few ideas, and there'll be golden nuggets along the way. So you can always, if you don't, the core ideas, they were too simple, this was too sophisticated, there's always a few nuggets you can take away with you. Always leave that for the audience. But here's the first nugget, is that I find that as you develop an idea over years, it ends up that you're really saying the same ideas you would say to a teenager when you're talking to someone older. You developed it more. You can get to the point more. You have more conviction towards the ideas. So really, it's all the same ideas. It's just said in a more sophisticated way and maybe more to the point. You've lived it. You've acted upon it. You've learned it better. And therefore, if you think about it, there's a lot of basic ideas one develops over the years that he can now say well, and that becomes who he is. And this happens to be a theme of mine that I've developed over the years, Purim being a specialty. Simcha. So it'll be a circle around Simcha. Let me just give an example of that. Here's the nugget you could take home, this story. My Rebbe once said, what made the Chafetz Chaim the Chafetz Chaim? And he said, besides the tzitkus part. And he said, what really made the Chafetz Chaim was that he saw reality for what it was. Meaning what? He said, let's say you take the furniture story. He says, well, why aren't you taking your furniture? What is it? Why aren't you taking? So he asked the traveler, why aren't you taking your furniture? And the traveler said, well, I don't take my furniture when I travel. So Chafetz Chaim says, I'm just traveling through this world. I don't take my furniture either. So I just have a little table and whatever he had there, basic stuff. So what it wasn't a tzitkus that made the Chafetz Chaim. He saw it for what it is. This world is only a couple of years. Why you gotta take your furniture with you? Right? So that wouldn't be a tzitkus. That would be he saw emes. Now we have that same emes in our mind. We're only here for a few years, right? But obviously the Chafetz Chaim seeing reality and us saying, yeah, we're only gonna be here a few years. It's a major difference. Chafetz Chaim saw it for reality. That reality, he lived that reality. So therefore, to him, why you got to take your furniture with you? Okay, so you got one nugget already that was worth coming just for that. There's no doubt that if you walked out just with that idea, I would say it's worth it. You're taking notes on that, or that? Okay. Okay. My favorite idea that I've ever said. This is my favorite, and that is. It's about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Is that qualifies for Na'afochu? Yeah, no cute vortlach of Yom Kippur. I'm not going in that direction. But this is my favorite point of all time, and I think you'll see why I'm using it now. And that is Gemara. It's the first Ma'ar Makom there. I think it's the first. Yeah, no Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So if you go right to the top Ma'ar Makom there, Amar Meyavo. Amru Malachi Asher Sufne Akadish Baruch Hu Ribbono Shalom Mipnei Ma'ein Yisrael Amru Shira Lefanecha Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Why aren't they saying Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Amar Lehem Efsha Bas Melech Yosheva Efsha Melech Yosheva Kisei Din Sifrei Chaim Sifrei Mesim Suchem Lefanecha Yisrael Amru Shira. The books of life and death are open. We're being judged. You're going to say Shira? So I think it's maybe again maybe now after I'm finished with the Gemara you might come over to me and say I oversimplified this too much, but I'll equate Hallel and Shira with Simcha, and I'll say Hashem answered no you forgot it, like it, we're making in other words, I'm making the Malachim sound a little silly here, don't they sound a little silly in the Havamina? Why aren't they saying Hallel and Shira and dancing, like what's going on here? Hashem says no silly Malachim, you forgot it's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you. The Sifrei Chaim, if you got this days of awe, Yamim Noraim, right? It sounds like, so what's the Halim? What are the Malachim thinking? Right? So in order to do that, I have, this is my favorite mashal of all time. I have two of them. One of them involves sports, and one involves soldiers. Well, of course, I'll go to the sports one. That's my okay, so I am a coach also, besides the Rebbe's one. I do deal with teenagers. You don't want to hear about soldiers. I'd rather hear about sports. Okay, so a coach takes his team from nothing to championship. They, you know, they were floundering, couldn't win games. This coach takes him. He develops him. He gives him a sense of work ethic and purpose and goal, go after goals and effort, and he gets them and he brings them to now they are championship team year after year. So this great coach is now, he's also beloved, revered, they love him, he's as a person, great coach. Now he's having the first meeting with them. They have a 10-day mini camp, they call it, where they get ready for the season. Right? He's going to meet, he's going to give them the opening speech on the first day, then they're going to have 10 days of getting ready for the season. So my question to you is, what does a coach do there during those 10 days? Let's we can go around. What a coach during those 10 days? Obviously, one is game plan. He's going to put in a strategy. What's the game plan for the next year? He's going to get their goals set for great heights again for another championship season. But also another thing he does is he establishes the discipline needed. He establishes himself as a coach without trying to be arrogant. But it does, my way is the way. We're going to be listening. He gets them to be listening. He makes them into good followers of what his plans are because he's led them to championship before. They trust him. And my way is the way we're going to get to the championship. So he sets the discipline for them and sets their way of the direction they'll be going in. Where was I going? I got so caught up in the football. Oh, yes. That is the mushel. Oh, so I forgot to ask the main question. What in the world is the feeling, therefore, they have when this coach walks in the first day? What's their overall feeling? What's their feeling when he walks in there on that first day? Are they anticipating that? Is it one of simcha? The answer is, of course. He's now coming in to lead us to another championship year, so they're anticipating his arrival. They are much besimcha. They are eagerly waiting for this coach to come, their great beloved coach, to come in and lead them to a new year. New year, a new championship. And that is what the malachim were thinking here. That's what the malachim were thinking. The malachim are saying, what's the point of Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is, let's start with the things I said last, first of the coach. Rosh Hashanah is nothing else than establish Hashem as the king. He wants you to realize he's the king. Well, his way is the way you're going to get somewhere. He's right. Malchus is the main theme of Rosh Hashanah. And as the Chinuch says, the whole idea is that the Aseret Mitzvah is a chance to start the slate clean. Correct what was done correct previous problems, get the slate and get started off another great year. So I ask you, is that one of Simcha? Aseret Mitzvah, that's obviously so. Hashem is going to join us for 10 days. Our great beloved coach, in quotation marks, is coming to now lead us to another great year. What could be better than that? So why aren't they saying hallelujah? Why aren't they dancing? Where's the Shira? As a matter of fact, if I would go on for a while, you wouldn't understand what's Hashem's answer. Hashem, now the answer makes no sense. Hashem said, oh, well, there's Sifrei, what is Sifrei? So what is Sifrei Chaim? Yeah, I know it's Sifrei Chaim, so I have to explain the answer now. So what's Hashem's answer? Well, there's death, you know, there's Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim. Hopefully I made the Hamamina strong enough that the answer now doesn't make sense. It shouldn't make sense. I don't know if I did. I do a good job. I don't know. The answer is, I go back to the mushel. There's one other thing the coach does in those mini camps. There's going to be cuts. See, some people are going to be cut from the team. And some of the starters that were last year are going to be reserves. And some of the reserves are going to become starters. You see, and therefore, when this coach comes in, now think, remember I told you that it's one of Simcha, eagerly anticipating? But when he comes in, I'm sure they're not going to be running up to him and dancing, ah, the coach, they're going to start with a dance in front of the coach. It's going to be one of coaches here. Get to work, let's get to work. We got another year, and now with the bottom line being I may be cut. Certainly you can use your position as starter. Certainly you want to show the coach that we're ready to have another great year. So that's the answer Hashem gives, you know, it's very nice, but bottom line, they got to make the cut. So Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mason. So it is. Now, if you've really deheard what I just did, I made the malachim or not. Hashem never called the malachim dumb. Everything the malachim said was correct. The simcha is overwhelming. It should be shira. It's just that the human focus, the human condition, he has to focus on the fear element because, wait, I got to make the team. He's giving me that look like, no. It sounds good. That the overall, if you take everything into account of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, There is a overwhelming simcha there, as the Malachim pointed out. It's that we as humans have to focus on the the fact that, wait, I want to make sure I'm still here. But with that in mind, now, by the way, in the world of chinuch, and I want to give some nuggets in the world of chinuch, as I happen to do that sometimes. You'd say, oh yeah, a teenager would love to hear that. That's not necessarily needed for someone who's a little bit more sophisticated. But I think that that's the human condition, is that there has to be that feeling of simcha there. The awe will come with that. As you're feeling, if you're really sensing that Hashem's joining us for 10 days, the overwhelming feeling will be simcha. But also it will be one of, I got to make the team. Like you said, you will naturally not start dancing. Let me get to work and show them that I want to make have a great year. But the simcha is the one that's more overwhelming feeling when you take the whole package into account. So again, it's not just an idea. Oh yeah, focus on that for a teenager. There's a Gemara talking to everybody, right? So I think in chinuch for sure, when kids, we got that they should feel the simcha, they should feel the closeness to the Rebbe, the love, the ava, and of course there's the fear element. I'm trying to build the balance of the simcha a little higher here than we're used to. Even for the Aseret Simei Tshuva. Of course, now you can figure out why I brought it. If I'm doing that for the Aseret Simei Tshuva, can you imagine what Purim must be? Right? So that's really where I was going with all that. So it happens to be my favorite mashal of all time, so I had to get it in. I don't get the chance to speak to a chash of a crowd like this too often. Except the fact that the Talmidim are chash of, but even on a higher level. Right, so Purim. So let me get into Purim a little bit. In the Simcha of Purim, I thought the Gemara before I start that, just to even go a little further, Klal Chovas Adam Balom, my Rebbe emphasized, he said the second, the Mesilas Yesharim, the famous line here, Adam Lo Nivra El Nes Aneg Al Hashem, the way my Rebbe pointed, said it, now again, if you're talking to a teenager, he said it, a person was created to party with Hashem. You use the word party, you get good brownie point. If you want to use the way they translate it here, it is to derive, or deriving pleasure from the splendor of its presence. If you use the word party, it'll go much better. We're created for party. Except Hashem is the party, but it didn't say L'san, it said L'san al Hashem. Remember, Hashem is the party planner. If you go with your party, that may not be as deriving pleasure as it may seem. So just go with the plan, and Hashem, that'll bring the ultimate simcha. So really, it's not just Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's life. We created here for enjoyment. As if you ask anybody, what are we created for? They'll say, Yirat Shemayim, Midos, Mitzvos, those are fun. But the ultimate goal, we created L'Sana Gal Hashem. So now I hope I really built up the Simcha element here. You worked out with a couple of good nuggets already, right? I hope. All right, so I thought the Gemara that would get us into Megillah would be this one, Daf Yutes. Now, unfortunately, what happened was today, I didn't end up getting a chance to put with the Iyun Yaakov. I wish I would have got the Iyun Yaakov in here on the left. That was why I left the space, but I never ended up getting it in due to we had different things happen today, and I ended up had to go to Mishmar, it turned out. Let's see. In that Mishnah on Yud Tes here, bottom right of side A, Mehechan Kara Adam is a Megillah. We can read the Megillah from Biyotze. Remeir Omer Kula. You got to read the whole Megillah. Rav Yehuda Omer Meish Yehudi. That's from where Mordechai comes in. Rav Yossi Omer Meachra Adavim Ayela, where Haman comes in. And then the Gemara. We start with the Gemara towards the bottom, seven lines from the bottom there. Mehechan Karas Megillah. Fourth opinion, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Omer Mimalailahu, from where Achashverosh wakes up. Omer Rav Yochanan, the Kulan Mikra Echa Darshu. They're all darshing the same pasuk where they get their opinion from. The Tichtav Esther Malkum Mordechai Yehudi is called Tokef. He wrote all the strength. So what does that mean? They wrote down all the strength. Oh, so man, the opinion that says you got to read the whole thing. You better read about the strength of Achashverosh. If you want to get the point of the Megillah, I'll say it as, you better read about Achashverosh's strength. Manda Omer Ish Yehudi, you better write about the strength of Mordechai, Takfel Shel Mordechai. Manda Omer from Haman, no, you better read about the strength of Haman. Manda Omer Malay Elahu, no, you better read about the strength of when the Nesh really starts. That's when it starts turning in our favor. He turns to the spot where Mordechai says, that's where the Nesh really begins to pick up. So the Iyan Yaakov wants to, what is going on here? Why do I need to hear, why each one hold that the strength of that particular person is important? So I will read the Iyan Yaakov. Sorry, it should have been on the left side of your sheet here. This should have been on the sheet. Hula takfus shal Achashverosh, klomar afsh Achashverosh hayo melech takif, afilo hachi bishvil asas nesi Yisrael, bito gzeirasa mehepech lehepech. Now, if you want to read how amazing the miracle was, look, he ruled the whole world, 127 medinos. So that shows the strength. If you read about the strength of Achashverosh, you will see. Yeah, I can call it the Hashgacha Pratis. You'll see the amazing what we had to overcome. That's one great theme of Purim. Now, what about Tukful Shel Mordechai? Why would you want to read about his strength? Right? Why, what's that important to the Purim story? Now, this one is not emphasized as much. Hashgacha Pratis is very often emphasized in Purim. This next one is not emphasized as much. Amanda Amar Tukful Shel Mordechai Laharos Kama Hachet Goram. We have political influence. We have Mordechai sitting there with great influence, yet now if we do chait, look what gezeiros can happen. All right, so that's a nice theme of Purim, that what chait could cause, we were that close to annihilation, even with great political clout. Mando metok foshel. Haman laharos af shisone Yisrael haya b'mayla elyona. He was second to the king. Mayla elyona. Afilo hachi richem akarish baruchu v'shine mazlo l'ra. Now I'm not sure what he's emphasizing there. It almost sounds similar to the Achashverosh one, that, right? From the strength of. But I don't think he's emphasizing strength. So the way I'm going to read it, and even if I'm wrong, but I think it's a nice theme of, and that is the v'nafochu. One minute he's on top of the world, Ma'al El Yona. Next thing you know, Shina Mazal Aran, he's hanging from a gallows. So that would be like the way things can change, that Yeshua has a Shem Karafayim idea. That's a reading, I don't know if that's the exact reading. But when I had that, I figured, I wanted to get in a, I got to talk about Pesach too, although Pesach will come up again. But I always thought the Pashuk Shat in why by matzah, the reason it gives for eating matzah, by the way, I brought the Malbim, because the Malbim here, Malbim everywhere is always drushy, and more, I should say drushy, I didn't do it, he's darshaning, and not giving maybe the Pashuk Shat, and he's asking questions, he arrives at a Pshat, but I don't know if they would call it the Pashuk Shat, right? I don't know, I think everybody would agree that when he's saying a Navi, it wouldn't be maybe the simplest Pshat. But here in the Haggadah, he takes the style of going more. You'll see his style is much different. It's more to the Pashat Pshat. If you do Malbim on Haggadah, as if I'm an expert on the rest of the Malbim on Haggadah, right? But it does seem that way from the Malbims I've heard and reading the Malbim on Haggadah. All right. Pesach Shahayu Avusenu Ochlim, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kaim. Did I say Pesach? Matzah is the one I want. Matzah Zu Shano Ochlim Al Shum Ma. Now, listen to the Lashon here. Al Shem Shelo Hispik Bitzekam Lahachmitz Ad Shenigla Aleim Melech Malchay Amlachim Hakadosh Baruch Hu Golam. Now again, the standard pshat and the Malbim gives this is if there is a standard pshat, like the famous question. I didn't phrase it as a famous question. What's so important about the fact that we were that it didn't get a chance to rise? If we got to eat matzah, like what is the rush out of Mitzrayim so important? Why is that so emphasized? So the answer given is that if we had been there any longer, we may have, to Shari Tumah, we would have been not redeemable. It would have been too late. And therefore, the speed of how fast we ran out was important. So we didn't even have a chance for the matzah to rise, and we were out of there. But I think the Lashon, again, I just want to show, I think this is the Pashat Pshat. I never saw anybody say it. Al Shum Shalo Hispik Bitzekam Shalo Lahachmitz Ad Shenigla Alem. Look at that, even before it rose, you were out of there. I think emphasizing the Yeshua Hashem Karafayin idea. I think it fits better in the Lashon of Ad. Lo hispik b'tzeikim shel avaseinu lahachmitz Ad shenigla aleihem ha-melech ha-malachi. It was, like, you didn't even get a chance to write, you're out of there. One minute you're a slave, the next minute we're free men. Alright, just now I got Pesach, I got Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Purim, and Pesach. Alright, And the fourth one, the Tokef HaNeis, I don't even think he had there, but I assume that's a very key component, the Neis Nistar of Purim. There's no open miracle, you won't find one miracle. Just so happened he woke up, just so happened he turned to the spot where Mordechai said, just so happened Mordechai had overheard a language, overheard two guys plotting, he didn't think he knew the language, just so happened that Haman was walking in at that time to hang Mordechai. Right? So a lot of just so happens altogether. The Neis is amazing, but it's a Neis Nistar because every part of it, there's not no open, no Neis Nigla there. That the Tokef HaNeis, obviously one of the main things of Purim. So I think I've covered in general some of the main things of Purim. So now I get a little Gemara. I'm doing it in the again. This is a thing you would do with teenagers, but I'm pretty sure that adults appreciate that too, where they get a chance to answer. It really is a method of teaching where you challenge the. I don't know if these are too hard. Maybe these are not as hard as... And that's on side B. Let's try the first top one. All right, so now we're learning a little Gemara, so we can get into... I didn't want to come in and just do Drasha the whole time and just do Hashkafa. So I wanted a little Gemara into it. So we have a mixture of everything. Haloa Shishama Ashuris Yatsa. If a foreigner, someone who doesn't know Hebrew, hears it in Ivrit, Ashuris, whatever that might mean. Again, I'm oversimplifying to say Ivrit. Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh. Vahalo yodam ayotze. You are yotze. So the Gemara, the top Gemara on side B. Vahalo yodam ayamri. The Gemara assumes you have to understand it at first. Not sure where they got that from, but they feel you should have to know it, what's being said. How can you be yotze hearing in Hebrew if you don't understand Hebrew? So the Gemara answers, Midi dahavi anoshim vami aretz. Well, noshim didn't often get an education in no Hebrew, and you're going to tell me all women are not yotze? Ami Aretz, you're going to tell me all Ami Aretz and Ayotze? I assume that's the proof, the showing. You don't have to understand the Megillah. Now, Maskiflo, I'm just going to read it. The Gemara interrupts and says, you could have had a third Raya. Again, I'm going to oversimplify some of the nuances here on the reading. But the Gemara says you could have had a third Raya, and that is, Ahashtaranim b'nei rachim miyadim. Nobody knows three words of the Megillah. There are three words in the Megillah that nobody knows. See, I think there's a machlokus in the Mefarshim whether the Chachamim at least knew. I think there are many that say the Chachamim, but certainly the masses, the people, did not know what Achash Taranim there. You're going to tell me all those people are not Yotze? So they don't know three of the words? Right? So obviously you don't have to understand the Megillah, or else no one would be Yotze. Ella, the mitzvah is Kriya Upasume Nisa. The mitzvah is just to read it and publicize the miracle. So one obvious question would be, I think that Rashi's addressing would be, if it's just Kriya, you don't have to understand it. Where's it going to be publicizing the miracle? Where's it going to be Pasume Nisa? So Rashi takes care of that by saying Alpha P. I put the Rashi in the right there. Alpha P. She ain't Yodin Masha Shomim. Even though they don't know what's being said, what they're hearing, Sholin Esa Shomim. They're going to ask the ones sitting next to them afterwards. I mean, Maya, what was this reading about? Veichayah Nesa. How was the Nes? And then there'll be no. So there will be a Parsume Nisa. Okay, now here's the challenge. So many Rishonim see from this Gemara that one must read every word of the Megillah to be Yotze. Where do you see from that? That's not even the topic of the Gemara. The topic is more whether you have to understand the Gemara, or whether you just have to understand it or hear it. Where do you see from this Gemara? Okay, call people and those even above that, please don't yell out the answer to this maybe simple, I don't know if it's too... Where do you see from this Gemara that you must hear or read, you must read every word of the Megillah? That's not even the topic of the Gemara. Who anyone want to try it? Who wants to try it? Anybody?
In the first paragraph.
What's in the
first? Those three words.
Those three words are in the first paragraph. Actually, I don't think we know where those three words are. They're all over them. I think they're all over them. Oh, by the way, Rashi does say it's some type of a fast camel. But we don't know exactly what it means. It's some. Anytime he's sending out these messengers, there's some camel that really moves fast. Right? Anyway, so what's the Raya? From this Gemara, you could prove that you must hear every word of the Megillah. Where? That's not even the topic. All right, I'll tell you. All right. What kind of a proof was it from Achash Taranim b'nei Ramachim? Nobody knows those three words, so it must be, you're going to tell me nobody's Yotze, it must be that you only have to hear the Megillah. No, I'll say, really? No, you have to understand, you really have to understand the Megillah. Ah, nobody understands those three words? It's only three words. So what? You won't understand those three words. But really, I'll tell you, you have to understand the Megillah. Right? I think, did I say it clearly? Okay, so I just, let's get a little Gemara in there. I'm looking around saying, yeah, of course, that was easy. That was too. All right, let's try the second one. All right, Hakol Kisherim Likrosis HaMegillah Chutz Mecheir Shota V'Katan. Hakol Kisherim. So we have now remember the rule. Remember before we start, the rule is that in order to be motzi someone else, you must be at least an equal obligation or above. You can't have a lower obligation than the one you're trying to be motzi. For example, if a cheir, let's use a katan saying kiddush for an adult. A katan has no chiyuv. He has a chiyuv of the rabbanon, maybe a chinuch, as we'll see in a second. I shouldn't use katan because that's the one we're using. A cheir has no mitzvos. He cannot be, he also has no das, bad example. A woman on many mitzvahs is a lower obligation than a man. Kiddush, a woman can technically say kiddush for a man, because they're both deraisa. So that could be, but if you're a lower obligation, you're only the midrabbana, and you're trying to be motzi someone who's chayim deraisa, it will not work. So here, cheirus shota v'katan, they can't be motzi to read the Megillah for an adult, for someone, right? Your adult bar das. Rav Yehuda machshir b'katan. Rav Yehuda allows a katan to read the Megillah for adults. So Tosis asks a brain teaser. He says mamonachah. What katan are we talking about? If we're talking about a katan who has not reached chinuch, then he's not chayev at all. Why would Rav Yehuda allow such a katan to read for an adult? And if we're talking about a katan who has reached chinuch, let's go with the age of 7 or 8, 6 or 7, or about, let's make a 12-year-old. Why shouldn't a 12-year-old be able to read it for an adult? The katan is chayim midrabbanan al chinuch, and the adult is chayim midrabbanan because the whole mitzvah of Megillah is midrabbanan. So a katan should be able to read for an adult. All right, so you're challenged to come up with the brain teaser answer. You should be able to hit Tosis' answer. Now, I don't know if that means that the question didn't really have validity. We have to give more hesber to the question. I could give a little bit more hesber. Listen to the example that Tosis gave. Yeah, this may be what drove Tosis in this question. Listen to the example he gives. We find a bain mevarech la'aviv, afal pishu katan. And the right a pre bar mitzvah can bench and have in mind his father, even if father an adult. And the Gemara makes an akimta that it's ochol ha'av kezayis, which makes him benching midrabanan. He only ate a kezayis; he didn't eat till he was full. And the cut, therefore, midrabanan can be motzi the Av, who is midrabbanan, who only ate a kezayis. So there you go. There's an example of a pre-bar mitzvah. He's a rabbanan. The father's a rabbanan because he only ate a kezayis. So you should be able to be motzi. Okay, so anyone want to try that one? I didn't have any takers on the last one. It does not say how much the katan ate. That's clue number one. It does not say how much the katan ate. I know he picked up on that one. It does not say how much the katan ate, and that is part of his answer. That is part of his answer. And that's why I think he may have, since it doesn't say how much, he may have thought in the kasha, it doesn't matter how much the katan ate. I don't know, I'm going. That may be part of what's making this whole Tosis move here, but I'm not sure about that. I was just driving at the fun of trying to solve this Tosis. The simcha here, let's say this. All right. I gave you a few minutes. You should not have looked at anybody that looked ahead at the answer without trying to find out that's cheating. You got to first try to solve it. Okay. So let's use that clue. If a cotton, I'll tell you right. The case is the only time a cotton could bench for his father is if he ate till he was full. Then he could be motzi his father who ate a kezayis. That should give it away. But if a katan only ate a kezias, he would not be able to be motzi his father, because now he's a double the rabbanan. He's got a double weakness. He's a katan who doesn't have the mitzvah, except al smid rabbanan al skrinuk. And he only ate a kezias, which is a mid rabbanan, even if an adult would have eaten that. So he has a double rabbanan. He has two weak prongs to him, trying to be motzi a single the rabbanan. And that's the answer Tosis gives. Yeshlomo de olamari bekanshi yigia lechinuk. We're talking about a cotton by Megillah who has reached Chinuch. Still, the Rabbanan say no. Because Megillah in general is a Rabbanan, and a cotton reading the Megillah is a double the Rabbanan, trying to be motzi an adult Megillah Chiyuv, which is only a single the Rabbanan. Okay, so much for Gemara number two. By the way, the most common, I give that as a brain, the most commonly given answer is that I get from the guys, the ones in Shir are, well, that's only chinuch. It's only chidah rabbanan chinuch. It's only practice. That's not a real the rabbanan. But I assume he doesn't give that answer. I assume no. The rabbanan's rabbanan. Now I know there's a whole tumult. What is the chiyuv chinuch? I even taught this summer Kilas Yaakov that there's two chiyuv chinuchs in order to answer four different gemaras. I was teaching this year Hilni Amalka. I was teaching in Camp Bunim as we were learning Gemara Sukkah there. That there is a chiyuv chinuch on the parent. But there is a chiyuv on mitzvahs, it seems, on the kid also, on the boy itself, at least what the Kilas Yaakov ended up with. But I know that's a whole tumult. Again, an oversimplification. Okay, now I have 7 minutes, so I now have a choice. I put third Gemara there. Should I end with, I want to end with, I have to end at 10, right? I got to end at 10. I can go to 11 if anyone. So let me hold it at two Gemaras, and then I just wanted to get in a few things more about Purim, because I want to end on this note of some personal stories. These are inspiring stories, as you'll see. One is we went to our Rebbe's house at night. You know, after the Megillah, we go to our Rebbe's house. This is in Rochester, New York, and we're going in. Tons of cars, go get some tzedakah, and then we all meet at the Rebbe's house. Now everyone's having a good. Did you see these cars, these limos that go? We're having fun. There was a lot of simple going out. As a matter of fact, I think they. Do I have this right that they paskin that? Yeah, they should be able to spend the extra money on limos just because they should be able to have a geschmack time doing it. I think this, if I got this correctly, but And then we get to the Rebbe's house. By this time, all non-drivers, you know what state they're in, if you can figure it out. Right, we're there, and I just remember now. You see things clearer at that time, even though not clear in some ways, but clearer in a certain sense. And a ninth grader said, "When does the party start?" Now, what he meant was, "When are we going back to yeshiva to get the dancing part?" Right, but I didn't hear it that way. When he said, "When does the party start?" Now, if you've been listening for the last 40 minutes. When does the party start? I said, whenever you decide the party starts, that's when the party starts. Don't wait for someone to tell you when the party starts. That's what I told him. That's a very important thing. If you walked out here with just that nugget, that is worth coming here tonight. That is a golden nugget. You got to decide. Now, you could say it in many different ways. If you were in the middle school, you'd say, you got to be proactive. Don't let circumstances dictate your happiness. You can't. Don't be reactive. I mean, be proactive. You know, they have the whole build-up and the... But no, really, it's an attitude we have. We can develop of having enjoy a situation, enjoy what we've been given. Sameach b'chalko. Okay, that's an inspiring story. There was an old lady in Rochester, Mrs. Gould. She was in her 90s already. I went a half hour before the Suda, before all the, you know, now picture the Suda and the Suda and Yeshiva in Rochester, in Rochester, New York, where our Rebbe was, the Rebbe's taught us the proper way to drink. They really did teach us, they worked on that with us, that it should be done in a certain sense. We made a siyum on Megillah during the Suda. Everybody would finish the whole Megillah. That is a siyum I will never forget. You know, and a siyum at that state is, that's fantastic. So I'm going to an old lady to give her a little happiness. You know, I would speak to her. A lot of the guys would often just do things to include her in whatever was being done, but she wasn't able to get out at that point. So everybody would bring her some shalach manas. So I remember now she could talk about 60 years of living in Rochester and go on for hours, as she would do. Now it's reaching the point where it's a suda now. But I remember that I remember now getting to the point where I remember it was like a breakthrough. It was a breakthrough that, wait a minute, I really didn't have that feeling. I got to get back to the party. I felt this was the party. You know, it's that time you reach in base management, you realize there are actually other things in this world better than the Purim party. You know, the gift is, I saw the simcha she was going over when she used to teach when she was in the 1930s. So that was this. That's another nugget you could tell you. A breakthrough like that. No, really, you have that breakthrough where you finally realize simplest things in life. That, wait a minute, that's the simcha of the... And in Purim, by the way, in that state, you really could do a lot as far as B'nam HaChavero. There is so much that could be done in that state if you just take the advantage. Someone that you couldn't get along with, that may be the opportunity to take it. Rabbi Davidovich, my Rebbe in Rochester, was so upset when it became a part of the yeshivas that they now have to send them home because of the safety issues. He used to love having the high school there because it was such an opportunity to have a breakthrough that you could not have the whole year. That's the way he looked at it. And I see what he meant, having experienced many Purims and being the Purim specialist, as it says on the paper there. I am the Purim specialist. Was it? Oh, no, I'm sorry, you're right, right. Purim, my specialty. Right, very good. I said, don't write specialist. Right, very, thank you. All right, but here, let me conclude with this great story. Here, this really sums it up, of really getting to the simcha of life. There was a team, they opened a minor league football team in Rochester called the... Rochester Brigade. The Rochester Brigade. And we were going to go to one of these games and have a good time, except every game was Friday night. It seems like every day, except the final game was on a Thursday night. Ah, that's the one we're going to go to. So I'm going to, it's an indoor arena. This is indoor football. But I'm going to dress like it's a Buffalo Bills game. I'm going to put on the winter gear and put on all the scarf and then, like we're coming, yeah, let's go in. And we're going to be in a certain part of the crowd with us and a couple of guys, and we're going to yuck it up, and we're going to go. Then I'm going to go around the stadium with my helmet, you get an idea of what my sports career was like back in the day. All right, so we go through with the plan, and here as I come in, and I start right away, I get to the helmet, I start walking around, and I'm going to, okay, yeah. It took within about 30 seconds before I felt like a complete blithering moron. It took about 30 seconds. I said, what am I doing? I don't know what I was, what am I doing? Right, so I, immediately I had now, after all these plans, like, what do you do at that moment? Again, the breakthrough comes. That's when you get the breakthrough. I say, wait a minute, why don't I'm in winter gear here. Why don't I go around and make people happy? Why don't I go around? I'll be the mascot. Now, they already had a mascot on the field. I'll be the mascot in the stadium. Like, you know, you can actually, you know, why do I gotta, you know. So I'm going around and I'm talking to kids, and I had some kid that was not doing well in school. And I said, no, you got to keep trying. I was giving chizuk to these kids. I was giving autographs. They were taking my autograph there. I said, this is much better. Why didn't I think of this beforehand? Why didn't I think of this beforehand? I mean, that's what it's all about, giving and sharing with someone. At one point in the third quarter of the year, all of a sudden, I can't see. The spotlight is on me. The spotlight of the stadium. All 3,000 people that were there are watching me, and I'm waving to everybody. This is a great moment. You know, what you're about selfish about for one moment turns into, I'm giving, now thousands of people are cheering me on. Instead of me being the obnoxious fan who's just trying, ugh! This is a great story, isn't it? And I finished with the climax of that story is that I called them up. I called up the Rochester Brigade a few weeks later, after the season, and I said, why don't you have a section up in the crowd called the cold section? Because, you know, people like up there in upstate New York, it's got to be cold. It's got to be cold. And football fans, you don't sit in the warm. It's got to be cold at a game. Like the cold weather Super Bowl we just had. They wanted it to be in a cold weather. That's football. That's football. I wasn't talking about football. I don't know, you think I was just talking about football, though. I got Rabbi Steinberg. I'm sorry. Do I have the? Am I seeing right? Yeah. Okay. The So, what was I saying? Oh, yes, I called them up. And I said, well, you have a cold section. What you do is you take the air conditioner, you slowly make it colder and colder up in the top left. Then you have the fake snow dropping down. Everybody's in the winter, you're serving hot chocolate. And everybody up there is going, yay! And it's like the cold section. They say, yeah, not a bad idea, not a bad idea. And I said, by the way, I did that a few weeks ago when I went to the game. I dressed up in what? He goes, that was you? I said, yeah, why? We're thinking of putting you on the front of the media guide for next year. A picture of you. All right, you got the point. You see what one, your change in attitude could do, what the impact. Let's have a Freilich and Purim the real way, the Simcha of Purim.